have David Francis here with us. He's the director for Sunday School Department with Lifeway Christian Resources, where we get all our Sunday school literature and a lot of other things that we do. Had the opportunity to sit down with David at a meal a few months ago at an event that was taking place, a Pastor's Essentials in Bowling Green. And just know David as an encourager. My conversation with him, that's what I found. And so as I was thinking about how can I encourage the teachers of our Sunday school and our Sunday school program, I thought if I can get a Sunday where David can come speak to us, he'll encourage us. And so that's why he's here this morning. Share God's word and encourage us to grow together. David, would you come, please, and share with us what God has laid on your heart?
Thanks, sir. Well, I have a theory that when pastors don't preach, what they do is they preach announcements and they preach during their prayers. So I don't know if it's the coffee or not, Paul, but those were some really good announcements. That was terrific. Thank you. There's so many things I was thinking about as you worshiped. I didn't know. You never know in a church whether you're supposed to raise your hands or not. And I guess I should have taken a signal from you. But do you know how Pentecostals vote in a business meeting? I know you're having a business meeting. You know how they vote? They put one hand down. Anyway, that's not in my notes. And so that was just for free. I have three sons. They live with their wives and 5.7 grandchildren. One's on the way in December, and that'll finish the rest. They live in Boston, Massachusetts, in Los Angeles, California, and College Station, Texas. In two of those three places, they do not know the plural of y'all. Do you know the plural of y'all? What? All y'all. Who said it? All y'all, all y'all, you know, because y'all could be, because you don't know, but they don't know that there. They do know we're from the South, because anytime I'm in, especially in Boston, somebody will say, where are you from? And I'll say, well, take a guess. And they say, well, Tennessee or Texas. I say, well, you're right on both counts. I'm a Texan who moved to Tennessee, and so I'm a Mid-South person now. One of the limitations of English is that when you read you, Y-O-U, in the Bible, it's not always immediately clear whether you is singular or you is plural. Such is the case in when Jesus declares you're the salt of the earth in Matthew 5:13. It's plural. He's not saying you individually are the salt of the earth. He's saying you, us, collectively, all y'all are the salt of the earth. In Mark 9:50, Jesus adds a fascinating command to a discourse. It's actually a pretty disturbing discourse in that chapter, in Mark chapter 9. But it's he adds something that I don't know why this is. It shouldn't be this way. I'm 65 years old, been to seminary, studied the Bible and taught it all my... I never had seen this. I never had seen in Mark chapter 9:50 the end of this verse. Let's put it up there, Ethan. Why don't we stand? Do y'all stand when you read the scripture? Yes. Okay, it's very short, but we'll stand up for just a second, but you need to stretch, so stand up. And let's read this together. Salt is good, but if the salt should lose its flavor, how can you make it salty? Have salt among yourselves. That's it, you can sit down now. Okay. I don't know why I had missed that, but I've read those passages a lot. But I just said, for the first time, you know, it's like you see for the first time something that you go, wow, has that always been there? Is it just the Christian Standard Bible, or has it always been by the way, that's what people think the director of Sunday school does at Lifeway, is I'm in the complaint department. So if you got a complaint, just let me know sometime, but be kind about it. My favorite complaint happened right after Katrina had hit Mississippi, and I was down there on a visit. They canceled my hotel reservation, so I had to. There was a WMU encampment outside of Jackson, Mississippi, that I found a little place that I could sleep in, and there were a bunch of disaster relief crews stationed there, and a tornado came and hit that night, and anyway, sirens were going off, all this stuff. So anyway, we had found our way to this, supposed to be a safe place in a washateria, and thunder, lightning, sirens going off, and this lady said, "Where's your yellow cap? Anybody do disaster relief? You know, the little yellow cap that they're noted for?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually not with disaster relief." She said, "Who are you with?" I mean, think about this. He's going, I said, "Well, I work for Lifeway." And so she says, "Well, I've got a complaint about the fourth grade Sunday school curriculum." And I just said, "Well, ma'am, if we survive this, I'll be happy to hear you talk about it. Salt is good, but if the salt should lose its flavor, how can you make it salty? Have salt among yourselves." In your sermon notes, there's a place in the key truth, and there's a blank there. Put the word "among" in the blank. What does it mean to have salt among ourselves? How might that apply to a Sunday school class? How might that apply to our church? We're going to explore three things that a Sunday school class can do and be to be salty. Are you a member of a salty Sunday school class? Yes. You are? How do you know? I like this. Y'all talk back. That's good. It's what?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, do you? Okay. Then that'd keep you awake kind of sometimes and stuff. Why do you have a salty Sunday school class? You got good flavors. That's terrific. This is fun. Somebody else? Salty Sunday school. So we are. We're members of a salty Sunday school class. In fact, last Friday, we got to, not this past one, but the one before that, we got together to have a packing party for Operation Christmas Child. It was a lot of fun. I always do, my wife says, I always do a soccer ball. And a size 5 soccer ball, and people are going, "You're kidding." No, you can do a soccer ball. You just have to take the air out of it. So you have to pack, you've got to pack a pump in there too. Because I just imagine with some delight that this older child in particular opens up their box and said, what'd you get? And I put it in a little orange zipper bag that can be reused. And they open it up and there's the pump and a soccer ball that they can pump up, you know. Who would expect to see a soccer ball in an Operation Christmas Child box? By the way, they have some plastic ones now that you can just pop the lid on. It's kind of like a Tupperware box. That helps keep the soccer balls in, too. We had a packing party in our Sunday school class. Caught up with each other. It's a class that we've really grown to love each other. We had nothing in common a few years ago when the class started, except that we wanted to go to a new Sunday school class. We were new to the church, and that's the reason we went. People had different reasons for wanting to go to a new Sunday school class. Over here, Mike and Dee Dee sit about right there. They're there about half the time. They're former Methodists, and they're trying to learn how to be good Baptists. They learned how to tithe in the Methodist church, figure that. But they travel a lot and tell us about their adventures. Vicki and I sit about right here. We sit about right here, and then Valerie, our teacher's wife, sits right here. She takes notes on prayer requests, sends them to us on Wednesday in an email. Chip and Robin sit about right here. Robin's a nurse at Vanderbilt. At our ages, she's very helpful. She's a little younger. We're sort of the old people in the class at 65. We're probably too old for the group, but they let us stay. And so, and Chip grew up as an Army brat, and they both grew up Lutheran. There's nobody in our class, hardly, that grew up Southern Baptist, and I grew up Presbyterian, and so we're all trying to learn how to do that. Rhonda and Dave sit next to them. Rhonda was just diagnosed about a month ago with pancreatic cancer. We're praying that God will do a miracle, but that's really rocked us. You know what happens, you know, when that happens. Dave's having a really hard time. He grew up Catholic, and just in the last couple of years was baptized and found Jesus to be his personal Savior, and so this is rocking him, you know. And it's one of those things you ask why. We're asking why together. And God, like he always does, he doesn't answer why, he answers who. And it's him and each other. Mike and Deanna sit right back over here. Mike is permanently wounded from being the son of a Nazarene preacher. who died just a few weeks ago. Several of us went to the funeral in Bowling Green. Drove up to Bowling Green to be with them. You move on around the circle, and there's another Robin and Bill. They are learning about grace. They grew up in a really legalistic church, and they think that the Christian life is all about not doing stuff. And they're learning that it's there's so many things that that you can experience freedom in Christ. Amy, their daughter, is a single mom. She sure doesn't belong in our class, but she comes. She's got a lot of grandparents. Anna, her daughter, have a whole class full of grandparents. Jack and Yolanda, Yo for short, are our newest members, and they just moved from Indiana. Jack came and helped me put up some ceiling fans on my screened-in porch a few weeks back, and we had lunch together. It's a salty class. We love each other. We've grown to love each other and intertwine our lives with one another. I hope you have a group like that. Everybody needs a group like that, a salty Sunday school class. Well, meanwhile, back at our focal passage, salt is good. But if the salt should lose its flavor, how can we make it salty? Have salt among yourselves. Jesus was a master of using whatever was around him as an object lesson as he taught. Perhaps on this occasion, he was bringing the listener's mind to the village of Terichai, which could have been in view from where he was speaking. The name in English would be something like Salted Fish Factory. Curing and salting fish was the main industry of the town. They would do it so quickly after the fish was caught, because it was so fresh right out of the Sea of Galilee, that they were known throughout the Roman Empire for having really fresh, salted fish. You know, Jesus used what was called small fish. He said some small fish were brought to him when he fed the multitudes and he multiplied the fish. Those were probably sardines from the Sea of Galilee that had been processed at the fish factories in Terichai. You probably never have heard of Terichai. We probably wouldn't know anything about it either if it hadn't been for the historian Josephus, who happened to be from the town. You probably do recognize its Aramaic name, Magdala, the home of Mary Magdalene. Jesus said that salt is good. It's even mentioned in the Bible's oldest story. I love this verse. I don't know why. I just like to throw it in here. Job 6:6. Job says, "Is bland food eaten without salt? Is there any flavor in an egg white?" Don't you love that? Somebody says, "We're going to have some egg whites." Say, "Well, Job says there's no flavor in an egg white. Well, let's see if the Bible has anything else to say about some clues about how to have a salty Sunday school class, because let's say it together. Salt is good. Let's don't do responsive reading. Let's just do it together. Okay. Okay. Salt is good, but if the salt should lose its flavor, how can you make it salty? Have salt among yourselves. Well, the first of the three points there that you have a blank on your notes is this. Make a covenant of salt with one another. A what? That's what I thought when I first saw this term, a covenant of salt. In Numbers 18:19, God gives these instructions through Moses. "I give to you the priest," these are offerings that went to the priest, "all the holy contributions that the Israelites present to the Lord as a permanent statute. It is a permanent covenant of salt before the Lord for you as well as your offspring." Yeah, have you ever heard of that before? I don't know why, but I had just not studied about a covenant of salt. In Leviticus 2:13, Moses gives another command. "You are to season each of your grain offerings with salt. You must not omit from your grain offering the salt of the covenant with your God. You are to present salt with each of your offerings." Salt. We don't think of salt as that big a deal, do we? But God says with the incense, with the offerings, don't forget the salt. Grain offerings, the ones that were mentioned in the Leviticus passage, barley or wheat, are likely what we would call free will offerings. They were offerings above and beyond the tithe. They were not required for atonement. They were just offered in gratitude. Like other offerings, they were to be presented with salt, as was the incense. Only a handful of grain offering was actually burned. You know that? If you carefully study the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, which I think you're going to get a chance to do in a few months as you go chapter by chapter, verse book through the Old Testament. You'll learn that all the offering wasn't burnt up, and that was especially true of the grain offering. As a matter of fact, when people came together to do these great feasts and stuff, only part of the animal offering they presented was consumed by the fire. The rest of it was consumed by them. You know, it was like they got to have a barbecue. I say it's the scriptural justification for subsidized Wednesday night suppers, but I don't know if y'all have one or not. But the grain offering, only a handful of the grain was actually burned up. The rest of it was given to the priest. You know, so they didn't have land. They only had cities. And so you've heard about bring the tithe into the storehouse. Well, the storehouses were in the Levitical cities that were across the landscape. And they would store the grain there, and it was part of their compensation. In fact, the Hebrew word for salt is salarium. Do you hear the word salary in there? Salarium. It was once thought that salt was used to pay Roman soldiers. As it turns out, it wasn't. It was a good story, but they didn't actually pay them with salt. But soldiers typically did carry around a little bag of salt with them, as a lot of people did. They carried around a little bag of salt. It must have been tempting to leave the salt out of the sacrifice, but the Lord said, I can tell the difference. I can smell the difference. Don't leave the salt out of your sacrifice. In the Middle East, after an Arab ate with someone, they might say something like, there is salt between us, because they exchanged salt. It was customary to treat people who were traveling through the city or the country or your village to treat them to a meal, to invite them to a meal. It was extra special if they actually served salt with it, because salt was very, very valuable. So in biblical times, people would carry around maybe a little bag of salt with them. And to seal a promise that they made to each other, one person would take a little bit of salt out of their bag and put it in the other person's bag. They would reciprocate, take a little salt out of their bag and put it in the other person's bag, and then they would shake it up. Now they were intricately involved in each other's life. You can't get it back. Once you drop some grains of salt in somebody else's salt, you can't get it. You can't go back on that promise. That was called a covenant of salt. A covenant of salt. Have salt among yourself. It was a promise that couldn't be broken. I think that's a beautiful metaphor for what can happen in a salty Sunday school class. Week after week, we study a portion of God's story. And we hear a little bit of each other's stories. It's sort of like each person brings their salt bag to class. And every time we get a new insight from Scripture, it's like God puts a little salt in our bag. Every time we hear something new about one of our friends or one of our people that are in our group, it's like they put a little salt in our bag. Someone has an insight to help us understand what Scripture is saying. They've put a little salt in our bag. We're helping each other understand the Scripture and help each other to obey it. We're exchanging, as we have a discussion, we're exchanging a little bit of salt between ourselves. Put in a pinch here, taking a pinch from somebody else. That's what happens in a salty Sunday school class. You see the metaphor? Do you get the idea? We talk a lot about our kids in our group, and I'm not going to tell you all the details of that, but they're vivid in my mind. You never stop worrying about your kids. You never stop being concerned about your kids. Mike and Deanna's twins. One is a serious pharmaceutical student. The other one is a partying law student. I was just thinking about the different things that we talk about with our kids. We're sharing and getting ideas from each other. And occasionally, Randy gets to actually teach the lesson. But most of the time, we're just sharing salt with each other. We don't know a lot of what we know about each other because we had one person stand up and give a testimony for 30 minutes. It's just a little bit at a time. You know what I'm talking about? A little at a time. Is that what your class is like? A little at a time, we're learning something of somebody's story. When we first started our class, we were pretty ritualistic about wearing name tags. I wish we still did. But we wore name tags every week because we didn't know each other. So we decided to have rules about our name tags. You put your first name really big so you could see it across from the room. Put the last name a little bit smaller underneath that. And then we would put something different. It'd be up on the board every week, something different on the third line. Your favorite movie, your favorite book. You can put the Bible. Your the team you root for the most, your hometown, where you were born, on and on and on. Your favorite restaurant, your favorite Mexican restaurant, your favorite Italian restaurant. It just gave people a little bit at a time. Can you see that little salt exchange? A little at a time, we're learning about each other, finding connections. People didn't know they were from the same place, didn't know they had the same interest. There was one guy in our class Vicky didn't like very much until she found out that both of their favorite movies was Braveheart. And she had made kind of a connection. Salt is good. But if the salt should lose its flavor, how can you make it salty? Jesus said, have salt among yourselves. Well, a second way to have a salty Sunday school, have a salty church, is to season your conversations with salt. To season your conversations with salt. Colossians 4:6, one of my favorite verses, it says this: let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. There's kind of a little used translation, the Williams translation, that I really like the way it translates Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt, that is, with winsomeness, so that you may know how to make a fitting answer to everyone. Paul gives an idea of what it means to pack salt in these translations. Especially in the Williams translation, the words winsomeness, graciousness might make you think of 1 Peter 3:15-16. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give an account for anyone who asks you to give a defense for your faith. And yet, Peter says, do that with gentleness and reverence. Can we be winsome, witty? Some people say that really means wittiness. That would be a great book, The Witty Witness, you know. We don't have to offend people to share the gospel. You know, maybe some people are saved because somebody yelled at them on the street and said, brother, are you saved? Are you going to fry when you die? You know, that's that shock evangelism, but you know, most of the time people are attracted to somebody who is joyful in their faith, is happy to be a Christian, is not walking around going, oh, I'm just working, it's just struggling for the Lord. I'm just wearing this heavy burden of being a disciple of Jesus. No, we want to do these things, don't we? We want to. We're happy about being a Christian. Each of the past several years, I've written a little book for Sunday school leaders. They cost a couple of bucks, or you can download them free from Lifeway or on iTunes. And the last three had these subtitles: Creating Commissioned Community, Creating Caring Community, Creating Conversational Community. Those are the three things that a salty Sunday school class should do. Creating community, a conversational community. We talk to each other with gentleness and reverence. A caring community, because we love each other and take care of each other and watch out for each other. And a commissioned community, because we know those of us that are here are not enough and we need to invite other people to enjoy what we enjoy in terms of fellowship with Christ. It's a community that comes together to help each other understand what God is saying in His Word, helps each other obey it. And that takes grace and winsomeness and graciousness and reverence. In our class, I don't know about yours, our lives all rub together. Is that true of yours? Our salt is all mixed up. Several people in our group comment on a regular basis that class is the most important hour of their week. It's actually an hour and 20 minutes because we're the third people to use our room on Sunday mornings and nobody's there after us. And so we usually say till 12:20 or so and then often go to to eat a meal together. And again, we didn't know each other until a few years ago. We just took a chance on a new class, and it didn't just happen. But then it did just sort of happen. In fact, one of the things that kind of that I remember that kind of stuck us together, kind of put us together, was the Saturday we all loaded up because we were church wanted everybody to do every class to do some project, and so we signed up to go to Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. So we loaded up, and went to Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, painted playground equipment, cleaned out a missionary residence, spread mulch. Got dirty. We were stinky, dirty. And then we went to Barbecue's barbecue restaurant. Yeah, that was really the name of it. And all of our stinky selves got together and had barbecue together. That was the day our class jailed because we did something together. We served together. We ate together. It was an important day as we came together as a group. And one more thing. Salt is good unless you use too much. Then it ruins a meal. It can destroy farmland. It was used in wartime to destroy fields. If you looked at the verses in Mark 9 just above this passage, it's a really scary scenario involving salt. That's why we put it in shakers so we can sprinkle it instead of pouring it. So in a salty Sunday school class, a lot of people sprinkle and nobody dumps. So take turns. If you're a big talker, we'll let other people talk a little bit too. And don't dump everything. When you share Christ with somebody who doesn't know Him, sprinkle your salt. Don't dump it all at one time. Sprinkle it. Trust that somebody else will sprinkle a little bit of the gospel too. And over time that the person will hear and that will draw people out. Salt is good. But if the salt should lose its flavor, how can you make it salty? Have salt, Jesus said, among yourselves. Then He says, you are the salt of the earth. You singular, or which do you think it is? All y'all. All y'all are the salt of the earth. Some classes, maybe not here, but ones that I deal with, have lost their saltiness. One way to restore some of your saltiness is to decide as a class to pretend that you're a new class. Just to pretend, to say, you know what? We're going to pretend we're a new class. People are attracted to new. New people are especially attracted to new. We think we do a good job of assimilating new people, but we really don't. Not as much as we think we do. And so, but we could fix that for a period of time, maybe 3 months. 6 months, maybe you do it for a while and get tired of it and come back to it, and pretend you're a new class. Wear name tags. Put your first name big and your last name smaller and think up stuff to share each week. You will be surprised. There will be people who have been sitting in your class for years, and you think everybody knows them. They don't know them. They would love to see their name on a name tag. I see this happen all the time. A class secretary or somebody substituting for a class secretary, and they're taking the role, and they're going like, who is that person? I don't know. Well, what are we going to do? You know what they do? They just leave it off. So pretend you're a new class. Wear name tags. Maybe put the rows in a semicircle, the chairs in a semicircle instead of rows. Oh, no, we're not going to use, get rid of the tables. You're really meddling now. Get rid of be new. I went into a class in Lone Tree, Colorado. Lone Tree is a community about halfway between Colorado Springs and Denver. There was a ladies' class in there, and I walked in. And every chair arranged around some tables that were squashed together had a pad in it. They either made them or bought them at a craft fair. You know the kind of pads I'm talking about? Those chairs were taken whether or not the person was there or not. So I asked, there was some assortment of chairs around the outside of the about the perimeter of the room, and I said, well, who are those chairs for? Obviously, every chair here has a pad in it. And the teacher said, well, that's in case we have any guests. Well, the smart aleck I am, as I left the room, I said, well, I'm sure they'll feel very welcome. But they won't. You know, we don't mean to not be nice to guests, but we sometimes aren't, are we? So pretend to be a new class for a little while. Third point, and it's 11 o'clock. Commission salty people to, I just wanted you to know I knew. I'm not going to get any shorter, but I just wanted you to know I knew. It was those long announcements. Commission salty people to teach the next generation. I'll work through this really fast. Commission salty people to teach the next generation. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 33. I hope this Bible opens up. The TSA really messed my Bible up. I mean, they did. I don't know if they did it on purpose or some Muslims opened it up or what, but this is. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent because on the way they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all. He took a child, had him stand among them, and taking him in his arms, he said, whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome just me, but the one who sent me. That's a powerful verse. Some of the most important members of your adult class are the ones you don't see every week, because if you're taking care of them, they're the ones who would be in your class if they weren't serving as missionaries to kids, teaching preschoolers and children and students in Sunday school. A salty Sunday school class treats those people like heroes. They display their pictures. They invite them to all the class parties. They include them in emails and Facebook groups or realm groups. They offer to provide subs and supplies because people get tired, you know, need a break every once in a while. They assign a care group leader to check in with them every week. Well, we don't have care group leaders. We'll get one care group leader and assign them to the people who are working with preschool children and students. It'll be a good start. My wife, Vicki, and I have served as missionaries to four-year-olds for many years, 20 years. We've experienced adult classes who loved us and classes that forgot us. I brought some missionary photos because we're missionaries to kids, and Ethan's going to kind of scroll through those while I continue to talk. We're fortunate. We get up about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, and we head to church. We set up our four-year-old room, and then because we have multiple services in our church, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. We go to our 8:30 worship, we set up our room, go to our 8:30 worship service, come back in time to greet our kids at 9:45. At 11, we go to our adult class and stay at about 12:20. You know the cool thing about that? We don't have to fight for a parking on either end of that schedule because we're there all Sunday morning long. If you teach preschoolers, you know that they don't have much patience for sitting while you dump a big story on them. Rather, as they engage in their various activities, what we might call play, they're all related to the Bible story, and as you walk around and talk about the Bible story a little bit, it's sort of like you're taking your salt bag and putting a little salt in theirs, a pinch at a two at a time. If we had to choose it over again, like we had to choose between an adult class and teaching kids, we'd teach kids. We would hope that we would have a class who loved us and took care of us and watched out for us. It'd be better if we had a class who celebrated us, put our pictures on the wall and called us every once in a while, invited us to the parties. But if we had to choose, we would still teach kids. Are you part of a salty Sunday school class? If you don't have a group, then try one. Or volunteer to help start a new one. If you're in a big one, help start a small one. There are people who need a small group to be part of. In fact, the research is pretty sobering. We know what's going to happen to you if the research is accurate, and it pretty much is. Churches were studied for studied the people who had joined 5 years before and whether they went to Sunday school and worship or just worship. Those who went to worship, this is tested out in hundreds of churches. People who go to Sunday school and worship 5 years from now, 83% will still be here. Those who only come to worship, you see the number, 16%. So what does that mean? I don't know how many, probably in the last year, 50 new people maybe have joined the church. Let's say that because it makes the math easy. If 50 new people, let's say that 25 of you only come to worship and 25 of you go to worship and Sunday school. 5 years from now, 80% of that 25 are still going to be here. That's about over 20. Of the 25 who only go to worship, you know how many of you are still going to be here? Four. You got to get in a Sunday school class. You've got to get in a small group. For your own sake, you need to get in one, because something will happen in your life that you need friends who will gather around you and share their salt with you and each other. Salt is good. If the salt should lose its flavor, how can you make it salty? Have salt, Jesus said, among yourselves. Pastor?
Thank you, David. As I've said numerous times, God has created us for relationships. Primarily a relationship with Him. He made that available through who? Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I hope this morning you know that you know that you have a relationship with God. God has also created us for relationship with one another. And if we're not connected together, then we won't stay connected here. And one of the ways we grow together is through Sunday school. I just hope that you take this challenge and next Sunday morning, find a room to be in. If you don't know, see me. See Miss Linda Logston, our Sunday school director, and we'll point you to a class in your age range, and you can bounce around until you find a place where God would have you to be. I want you to stand with me this morning as we sing our closing song together. This is an opportunity, maybe you're going through something today, and something that was said has pricked your heart, and maybe there's some relationships that you have that are strained, and you need to grab the hand of a friend that you're seated next to and pray for them. I'm going to ask all the Sunday school teachers if you'll come forward in just a moment and line this altar. If you can get on your knees, do that. If you need to stand, that's fine. Just spend some time praying for your class. And class members, if you feel led, you can go put your hand on your teacher and say a prayer for them. This is not blessed unless God blesses it. And so we need to ask Him to do so. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for creating us for relationships and for providing meaningful relationship for us. Providing us in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask that there's someone here that does not know that powerful name, that God, they have surrendered to them today. And God, I ask that you would show them their relationship with you and what you desire to do in them. And God, for those of us involved in a Sunday school class, God, we thank you for our teachers and those that we can engage with week after week and walk through this life together, becoming disciples and growing together. I ask, God, that you would bless the activities and the efforts of each Sunday school class. And those here this morning who aren't engaged, aren't involved, Lord, I pray that you convict them and that they might see the need to join a small group, a class where they can belong and be found faithful in their walk with you. God, we give you this time and trust you to move in our presence. God, that you might encourage us to be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.